In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, "When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things." And while the Apostle Paul there was illustrating the fact that the church would soon grow out of certain things, the illustration rings true for us today about the process of becoming an adult. When does one become an adult? The Amish believe that a child should be largely self-sufficient by the age of 4, which is probably pretty odd for many of us with children to think about today, that you're going to dress yourself and take care of your own dishes and clothe yourself at the age of 4, but that's what the Amish expect. And by the age of 14, the Amish expect that a child will actually actively provide something for the family, working on the farm or sitting at the side of the road with one of those stands making money on behalf of the family. The Jews, they hold bar mitzvahs at age 13. Our American law recognizes the age of adulthood as 18, though we actually entrust children with adult decision-making earlier than that, don't we? Certainly at 17 and a half when they head off to college, as many of our teens are getting ready to do, or even age 16 when we grant driver's licenses and put them behind the wheel of deadly automobiles. Of course, I've also seen plenty of people behave like children long into their 30s. And by the way, I am including myself in that list. I hope that I still engage in playful behavior from time to time. I certainly admit the fact that I'm a big kid in a lot of ways, but that's not the kind of thing that we're talking about this morning. That's something that I hope that we will never lose, whether we're 60 or 70 or 80, a certain childlike way of looking at things and looking at the world. Helps you to feel young. But when does adulthood start? Teens, many of you are in the process of becoming adults. Whether you like it or not, you are becoming adults. What are the things that you should expect to encounter as you go down this road of becoming an adult? And also, if you wish to be treated as an adult, if you want to get that process of growing up really, really moving, then how should you speak and behave as an adult? I have 5 different things that I would like to share with you this morning. The first, to become an adult, is to stop thinking primarily of yourself and to start thinking more and more of others. There are, as by my count, just really quickly, 3 newborn babies in the room this morning. And any parent of newborns will tell you, go ahead and ask them, that a newborn baby is a blob of liquid selfishness. Emphasis on the liquid, but the selfishness part there. A baby cannot really communicate using words and advanced nuances and body language. They only know one thing, and that is to wail when there is something that they need. And that is to be expected because babies are utterly dependent upon their parents for everything, from food to warmth to love. And we as parents are responded to communicate or to respond, to that scream or to that cry and to provide everything. And that's good. That's the way God intended it to be. But at some point around toddler age, parents begin to mold the character of their children by refusing to respond to each and every wail. And in a reasonable succession, parents teach their children that, you know what, you can wait just a few minutes until I get the spoon from the peas to your mouth. You don't have to scream for it. And after a while, then we teach them they can hold their bladders until the car stops. We teach them that they don't have to snatch the toy from their sister. They can ask politely for it and that it can be given. And that they can sit still for an hour without a video game in their lap. In a nutshell, what we're doing as parents is we're chipping away at that selfishness. We're tempering that selfishness and teaching the lesson that others matter and that you aren't the most important person in your little sphere. Nevertheless, childhood years, and even to a large extent, the teenage years, are still mostly about me. still mostly about personal development and personal achievement. And in a lot of things, teens still do get their hands held and their work checked and their rear ends chauffeured around most of the time. But parents continue to add responsibilities, to beat back selfishness even more. And so we add things like the expectation that chores be done and maybe even holding down jobs and paying for your own movie and completing tasks that have been promised to teachers and to coaches, whether you wanted to do those things or not. All of this is to demonstrate that life is really built on the foundation of fulfilling responsibilities to others. And then as teenagers pass into adulthood, they discover, you will discover this, that life is mostly about your relationships with other people. And so teens, to become an adult, maybe I should be saying this to some of us adults as well, take seriously Jesus saying to treat other people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the entire law and prophets, Matthew 7 and verse 12. The whole Word of God is based around those two concepts of loving God and loving others the way you would like them to love you and to treat you. And so think about those relationships. There are many that we must concern ourselves with as adults, as Christian adults. And not just to pick up after yourself and be helpful and kind, not just to have a smile on your face most days and not whine and complain on the others, but to learn to be the kind of person who will be a good spouse, the kind of person who will become a responsible parent, the kind of person who will be an active member of a congregation and a faithful worker for the Lord, for he is the most important relationship we'll ever have. To know what it means to be a dutiful citizen, to know what it is to be an upstanding neighbor and member of a community, to be a pleasant employee, and even when that period of time arrives, to be a caring child, one who's still concerned about the plight of his parents. The New Testament commands each of these things from our relationship with other people. The amazing thing is that you will discover that as you take seriously these other relationships, that you'll actually enjoy life more. And when you learn the fact that life is really about all of these others, it makes a very broad circle that leads to a very fulfilling adulthood. The second thing is to beware of youthful sins. Now, you may be confused by this because didn't I just say about not being a youth anymore and becoming an adult? So why in the world would I mention youthful sins? Well, it's important to understand how the Bible uses that term. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, "Flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." Now, it's very clear that if you do a little bit of a chronology of the book of Acts, that Timothy, at the time that Paul was addressing that verse to him, flee youthful lusts, was either in his mid-30s or perhaps even his early 40s when Paul said, flee youthful lusts. Youthful lusts are not things like throwing sticks on the playground or cutting in line, or using that outside voice in the house that we tell you to please use your inside voice. That's not what we're talking about when we mean youthful lusts. No, what we mean are the kinds of things that are really grown-up sins, things that Paul warned Timothy about because they could derail his ministry, they could destroy a family. Things that you gain access to as you open your eyes, as you own a cell phone, as you discover the world, as you gain freedom away from your parents. Things that, okay, at the age 60 or 70 might not be so much of an urge, but from 15 to 50 are ever-present temptations. That's what the Bible's talking about with youthful lusts, not five-year-old problems, but teenage and early adulthood problems. So teens, let me tell you, it's really fun to be an adult. You thought it was exciting to be in middle school and high school. College has got its perks too, but adulthood is really fun. There are limitless possibilities. You have energy. You now have freedom. And indeed, learn to enjoy those things. Look at what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting in verse 9. He says, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. And yet know," lest you think he's talking about sin there, "yet know that God will bring you into judgment for all these things." So pay attention to God's word, but live during those days of young adulthood because you've got the energy and the freedom. Verse 10, "Remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body," because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Chapter 12 and verse 1, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no delight in them.'" God has given us those days to enjoy. And as you become an adult, you should enjoy those things. But at the same time, beware youthful lusts, because they will destroy that life. Set your mind proactively that you will avoid those things, avoid filthy language, avoid pornography, avoid sexual immorality, avoid drugs and alcohol. Set your mind that you will, in fact, avoid situations that will tend you to lead you into those things. Matthew 6 and verse 22 says, "The lamp of the body is the eye." And even in the act of choosing what we will take into the body, our media choices and our surroundings and our companionship have a lot to do with the person we will become. Start living in transparency and integrity and honesty so that you don't feel guilty about letting people know your comings and goings. Realize that part of becoming a faithful Christian is living in a way that in fact is different from the rest of the world. Peter talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. He says, "Since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. The time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. And in all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." You see, part of becoming an adult is growing the self-confidence that you don't care so much about what other people think of you as long as God thinks highly of you. And so the sinful lusts and indiscretions of the past need to be put off so that you can get serious now. And stop making excuses that, "Oh, I just have to get these things out of my system. They really won't affect me. I'm guaranteed tomorrow," all of those other things. These are dangers that could destroy your influence as a Christian. They could set back your life and even your career, limit your options of family, and I might add, even condemn your soul. Realize that for the last 15 or 20 years, Satan has been sharpening the tips of his arrows, waiting to get a clean shot at you. He hasn't been able to do that yet because your parents have been there holding the shield up, trying to block all of those angles. But a day is coming, and now already is, that Satan's going to get a clean shot when you get out there into that world. And so don't allow him to get a clean shot at you. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Walk in fear and obedience. Beware youthful lusts. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking. In evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature." As we grow, as we enter into adulthood, don't be immature children in your thinking, unless what you're referring to is sin, and then, yeah, be an infant in that. But grow up. Act as an adult, because many, many people are looking up to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 is where the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, let no one look down on your youthfulness. But it's not just Timothy, stamp your feet and wag your finger and say, you ought not look down on me because Paul says you can't do it. There's a reason. Because rather, in his speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, he's going to show himself an example of those who believe. You want people to treat you as an adult? Be an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. And people will immediately respond to you as a mature adult. So beware of youthful sins. Thirdly, participate in the service of God and get serious about the work that Christ has given to each and every one of us as mature children of God. You've been sitting in a pew, which is a great place to be, by the way. It's a great place to learn and to worship. But now is the time for you to use those skills that you have developed. Many of you are heading out into the world where you've never been before. You will go to other congregations and you will worship in other places. You will live in bedrooms that you've never lived in before, under roofs that you've never been under before. Now is the time to put to use all of those lessons that we've tried to pour into you all of this time. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14, John says, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. I would suggest, rather than putting off responsibility and saying, well, when I'm 40, I'll get serious about being a Christian. When I'm 50, I'll think about, you know, helping out and teaching a class and participating in a worship service. You know what? When I'm 63 and collecting Social Security, I will have the freedom to start living as a Christian. You know, we'll always push that number back. We'll always move those goalposts. John says, young men, now is the time for you to serve because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you've overcome the evil one by virtue of your good confession of the name of Christ. And so it's time to work. Leisure is a good thing, and supporting your family is an even better thing. But best of all is to use that vigor that you have, that strength that you have to serve God. And so develop a proper attitude toward leisure. I love leisure time. Playtime is great, but it must be viewed in balance with other greater responsibilities. And so you're old enough now to put down the video game controller or the fishing pole or whatever it is and to take the jobs of a mature Christian. So volunteer to help. When the sign-up sheet goes around to preparing a meal for others, sign your name on that. Teach a toddler class. Serve on the Lord's table. Visit the sick and the shut-in. You'll never have as much energy and free time to do those things that you have in the days of young adulthood. Don't believe me? Just wait. But use that strength and that time that you have now. And it's also important as we grow and we become adults and we enter into the realms of the mature to never stop respecting those who are older than we are. To not respect the aged less, but to respect them more. Leviticus 19 and verse 32 says, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. Proverbs 20 and verse 29 says, the glory of young men is their strength, but the honor of old men is their gray hair. Should I read that again so that we let that soak in? The honor of old men is their gray hair. They earned that stuff. That's there by length of experience. And rather than looking down on that, oh, you're old and you need to be pushed out of the way and make room for the younger generation. No, God wants us to realize that that's the honor of their life. Teens, you may think you know it all, but you don't. Now, you will always have more computer skills than the aged, but you will not always have more experience. You will always have more strength to dig a hole faster or cut down a tree faster, but you won't necessarily know how to get as much work out of one shovel full as an older guy does, nor how to pace yourself in cutting down that tree. And that experience is as vital to success as the energy of youth. When we ignore the cautionary tales of the aged, we rob ourselves of the wisdom obtained through many years and many bruises. When we listen to the advice of the aged, we save ourselves from having to make mistakes that they already made on our behalf. And they don't want us to make those same mistakes, and so they give advice. Not because it feels good to give advice, but because they don't want to see us suffer like they suffered. Pause from time to time and ask and listen rather than always learning the hard way. Remember what God said about the elders in Hebrews 13 and verse 17, that they keep watch over our souls as those who will give an account. Make that job easy for them and not hard, and weigh that advice and consider their experience. God provides the older generation for our benefit. When you become an adult, it is true that you no longer have to obey. That just means that you're free to make your own mistakes. But if you want to save yourself a few scars, consult an older member of your family about parenting skills. Consult an older member of the church about financial skills. Consider carefully their advice. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, which Jackson read for us just a few moments ago, is where Solomon was trying to pour wisdom into the heart and the mind of his son. And you'll notice that he said there that he needed to bind those things around his neck, to write those truths on the tablets of his heart, to carry those things with him always where they would guard him in the future. Same thing in chapter 4 and verses 1 through 9. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. Give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and an only son in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom and acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, that is wisdom, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Solomon said, once upon a time, I was a kid being bounced on my dad's knee, and he gave me wisdom. And you know what? As I became an adult, I realized that dad's advice was true. And so listen, son, I'm trying to pour advice into your mind and heart. Listen to that advice, and it will guard you. It will spare you. It's an appeal based on experience and wisdom and observation. Honor and respect the aged as you grow. And finally, the last thing, and I don't mean to sound glum at this at all, but it is true, it is important for me to say, you need to prepare for adult life, to prepare for the hardship and the failure and perhaps even from time to time the tragedy that will come along with being an adult. Because so far you've been kind of sheltered. And oh, how you've wanted to get out from under the thumb of mom and dad, but really soon you'll discover that being out from under the thumb of mom and dad means that you're also out from under the insurance policy of mom and dad. And now you're just under the thumb of the landlord, and you're under the thumb of the boss, and you're under the thumb of the tax collector, and you're under the thumb of the police officer, and you're under the thumb of countless other individuals to whom you must answer and submit. So one of the necessary things about becoming an adult is preparing for the negative aspects of life and to weather those storms. Teens, don't expect that within a year after moving out, that you're going to move into a grand mansion and drive a brand new sports car. Mom and dad scrimped and saved for 20 years to be able to purchase a vehicle. And so work a little bit for that privilege. Work hard. Save money. Be responsible. Live contentedly. Be patient. Buy health insurance. Slowly work your way up. And most of the time, wonderful things will come. Most of the time. But understand that in some lives, challenges await that are great. I believe that within not too many years or decades from now, persecution will be a word that we'll need to get comfortable with once again. And it's difficult for me to admit, but we're raising up children and teens who are going to have to face a good deal more persecution than we adults have ever had to face. Or it could be the other sorts of things that just attend to life. The loss of loved ones, disaster, churches where the preacher is awful and people are at odds and they even split. Those are terrible things to encounter, but they're all part of life. So don't curl up into a ball when you lose your first job. Don't lose your faith when your childhood role model implodes and you hear the news that he's off, run off into some sin. Realize that people will always let you down, that nobody is perfect. God, on the other hand, will never abandon you or disappoint you. Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 5 through 6 reminds us of that vital truth. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? When God is in our corner, there's nothing that we need to fear. Though sometimes it may feel like God has abandoned us, he will not abandon us. Be strong. Do what you're supposed to do, and he will lift you up. Prioritize your life in such a way that regardless of what comes, you will always put him first in all things. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And above all, the most important thing of all is to make heaven your number one priority. Of all the decisions that you make, of all the forks in the road that you come to where you have to choose, choose the one that leads you toward eternal salvation. For what does it profit a man, Jesus says in Mark 8:36, to gain the whole world, but to forfeit his soul? You could become as famous as Brad Pitt. You could have a voice like Taylor Swift. You could be as wealthy as, I don't know, Bill Gates, as powerful as President, whomever it's going to be in 100 days. But none of that makes any difference at all unless you're a faithful child of God and you have heaven in your future. None of it makes any difference at all. In fact, you could be all of those things balled up into one package. If you don't have salvation, you got nothing and you've lost it all. So put God first in every aspect of your life. Thank you so much for your attention this morning as we talk about what it means to become an adult. Some of the greatest years of your life are right there ahead of you. Grow into those duties and those responsibilities and always build on the relationships you have with others. This morning, the gospel message comes to us from God's word that Jesus died and gave his life because we could not secure our salvation. We are imperfect, we are weak, but he is mighty. And where we could do nothing, God came along and bridged that gap through the blood of his son, Jesus. That blood is available to you this morning if you want your sins washed away. Confess your faith in his name. Be immersed and have those sins washed away. Have eternal life waiting for you. If we can help you in that this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing this song?